Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate
me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Woo! Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday. I am Joe Fisher and Rashawn Taylor. No, for the second week in a row, Rashawn is not with us, but we do have Jordan Schultz across the glass with the ones and twos. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, man? Feeling hungover, I'm not gonna lie. I'll just start the show out with just straight honesty. A little hurt today. Playing a little hurt.
Did you go out and turn up for the holiday?
I guess not specifically for the holiday, more so for the weather.
Hungover on corned beef and cabbage, huh?
Oh, you know it. No, lots of green beer was in my past yesterday. But happy St. Paddy's Day to you and to everybody out there. Hopefully, if you are wearing green, you can take part in festivities,
bit.
And if not, a little bit. If not, then a pinch is coming your way. Hopefully, from somebody that you consent to a pinch coming from. So.
What is it that we're celebrating exactly? Just Irish people, the Irish culture.
That's a great question.
Like the reason I asked is I saw on someone's like Instagram story the other day that they were somewhere at a local purveyor getting their drinks. And someone said, like, in the video, Happy St. Patrick's Day. Like, it seemed very like, oh, I guess this is a formality. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is why we're out doing this.
Let's see. Looking at Dr. Google
here. Who is Patrick?
I believe it is the St. Patrick that this holiday is referring to. It is a religious and cultural holiday.
Who is this guy?
17th of March, the traditional death date of the original St. Patrick, the foremost patron saint of Ireland. That's just what the internet and Wikipedia says.
So a lot of religious ties to this.
I mean, isn't Ireland extremely like Roman Catholic and, you know, like steadfast
very,
Old Testament back in the day?
Very, yeah. Very Catholic, from my understanding.
I love the way that you put that. Very, very Catholic.
Very white, very Catholic over there in Ireland. Ireland.
Ireland, eh?
I honestly, one of my most favorite accents, I'd have to say.
Actually, apparently it looks a lot like here in Ireland. My wife's been a couple of times and she's seen just the rolling hills that we kind of have here in the Willamette Valley. She says it is very similar to the just the quality of the climate and kind of the rainy weather you get in Ireland.
There's a drive that I do out going towards Willamina. You're familiar with the area. Willamina, Sheridan area where Spirit Mountain Casino is. And you drive that, like, basically the stretch, like, from McMinnville to that part of I guess, Yamhill, Polk County, I guess, over by the federal prison.
Yep. Know where you're talking about. As that switches over, yeah.
And the Delphi School.
Oh,
The giant Scientologist school on the hillside there.
We're really in the middle of nowhere now. Like, if this is like 10 miles away from all the wineries in Dundee, mind you.
But there's a stretch of land there that every time I go out driving there to visit my sister, I get UK vibes. I get like that type of the region of the world vibes because of those rolling hills. There's some kind of like little, the mountain range in the back, the coastal range, and just it's usually raining. That too.
That's fair.
But it kind of gives me, you remember that Windows 98 desktop background with the blue sky and like the rolling hill background with the clouds in the background?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Take me back.
Man, what an unfortunate series of events, though, for St. Patrick's Day to fall on a Sunday, huh?
Very frustrating. I did see...
I guess that's why people got their boozing in yesterday.
I was going to say, I did see the amount of police out like it was on a Saturday. So, yeah, I think a lot of people just celebrated yesterday. And you got the kids kind of running around today saying, Happy St. Patty's Day with a lot of hungover adults.
Yeah, so. Like, please, just go back to your room.
Actually, speaking of adulting, Joe, and speaking of drinking as an adult, I must admit something. I don't know if I should be ashamed or not, but like I'm kind of making that transition from like heavier beers to like the lighter, you know, probably more domestic stuff as opposed to like the IPAs, just because my tummy can't handle all this. Like if I want to continue a night, it's either going to be like two IPAs or like six or seven domestics, right?
Oh, I've talked about this with you on the Hot Corner, how the hazies are just, they're rough on me now.
It's too much. Exactly. And then you're trying to, like, usually when you're consuming beers, it's like in a group setting, like either at a bar where you're eating or at a barbecue like I was at yesterday. So that can compound very quickly if you have too many IPAs. I recently got into drinking Yellow Jackets, Coors Banquets, but even further yesterday, I have found the nectar of the gods for me, Joe. I cannot believe it took me till I was 35 to find this. Trust tree, I am a Miller Genuine Draft guy.
Miller Genuine
Draft. Oh my god. The champagne of beers has taken hold of me, and I don't know if I'm like awesome or if
Dear
I should
God.
Be representing like all rednecks of Oregon.
Miller Genuine Draft.
Yeah, serious. Like I could drink that like it's water. I think I ended up having like 9 of those yesterday.
That's a very 90s beer.
It is. So be it. I am a very 90s drinker, apparently. But I love it, dude. No shame in it. I get it. Like, you know what? You can throw S at me all you want on the Vancouver Ford text line, but Joe, I love that stuff, bro.
Well, now I'm just, oh, bud.
It's kind of sad.
Well, now just like you saying that that's what you're drinking is that I was like, all right, let's automatically pull up a list of worst beers of all time. And the very,
very first one
list, this is myhighplains.com. So I guess some sort of website based out of Nebraska, I guess.
They're just the judges of beer. Totally.
Yeah, they know all. Yeah. Let's see. You got number 12, Bud Ice by Anheuser-Busch. Bush Ice and then Bud Light. But number one on this list, Bud. Hate to break it to you.
Wow.
Miller Genuine Draft 64.
Oh, thank you. So no. That sounds like the like 64 calorie like a Michelob Ultra version. Yeah. That's why it's up
the
high
diet
on the
version
list.
Of MGD.
No, I'm drinking MGD because I don't want the diet version. I don't want the light version. I have figured out where my people are, where my beer is. And I'm okay with it. I'm slowly accepting what I am becoming.
Now, I feel like ratebeer.com is the better judge on all this. But, I mean, Miller Genuine Draft, the Light 64 comes out at number 8 on this. But
This is worst beer, right? 8-1 is like the 8th worst beer.
Yes. Okay. Number 1 on this list is Natty Light.
Well, that's absolutely confirmed. We all had a sip of that in college, and we all know what the next morning on 4 of those feels like. Ooh.
Miller Genuine Draft Light comes in at 31. You know, I actually just don't see MGD on here at all, like the original version.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, you know what, Joe? You're making me feel a little bit better.
You feel a lot better about your choice now?
My palate doesn't sound just as redneck ass as it did about 2 minutes ago. So I appreciate that. This is good. So MGD, just not the light kind. I'm starting to figure out, like, I'm not going to do the light beers, but a regular domestic, good old Miller, give it to me.
The drink that makes me know that spring has sprung and it is golf season, and it happened on Friday. Finished work, and I moseyed on up to one of my favorite golf courses in this fine land of the Willamette Valley, Wildwood, up there near Scappoose.
Ooh.
And I know that it is spring, because when I can drink a White Claw on the golf course, that's how I know it has begun.
Ain't no laws with those White Claws, baby.
Dude, I don't know what it is about those things.
What flavor? That's the key.
My two favorite flavors, mango and black cherry.
Okay.
And I'm not usually like a black cherry, cherry flavored anything kind of guy, but the black cherry flavor, it smells like it smells and tastes like gummy bears. Like it is, there's something about it, man. And then yesterday we had my son's 11th birthday party over at Papa Joe's. Ribs aplenty.
Ooh.
We had barbecue, spare ribs, baby back ribs. We had St. Louis style ribs.
Oh my God.
I made Colby beef ribs.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you had some beef ribs in there too. Dude,
it was fantastic. But I bought a whole 12 pack of the Claw. I supplied a 12 pack of the Claw. I also had a 6 pack of some Kolsch beer too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, I had to start going lighter with the styles of beer, and Kolsch is a solid choice. But, it's Claw season. Claw season has officially begun.
Well, it's out on the golf course season, so you better start drinking your Claws, your Leinenkugels, your Bud Light Limes, your Bud Light Oranges. I'm pretty sure there's a ton of other flavors for other ones, but I remember those two, and I see a lot of people, like, as soon as Bud Light Orange came out on the golf course, that kind of seemed to be like an immediate
hit. Bud Light Orange?
Yeah, have you not seen this?
I
think you're about to be, I mean, I'm not saying like Bud Light's the best beer in the world. Straight up, I'm not really a Bud Light guy, but Bud Light Lime and then Bud Light Orange, a can of that on the golf course, my friend, and I'm pretty sure Isaac Ropp would attest to this as well. It's pretty good. Very refreshing. Kind of almost has that line in Google's feel.
Bud Light Orange. I don't think I have ever seen this before. I've definitely seen Bud Light Lime, and that is panned across the board. But I mean, where does Bud Light Lime come on this list?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of a, I feel like that's a super, super preference. You've got like a section of people that are super into the lime, you know?
Bud Light Chelada.
In general.
What are we doing?
Red beer.
Do you not have any respect for yourself?
And not just red beer, but basically what? Tomato juice and Clamata? What the hell is that? Somebody explain to me what that taste actually like makes you feel like, because that does not sound good.
That's a drink, not just even an alcoholic drink, just a beverage mixer that I do not understand how that became a thing. Clamato juice.
Do you remember
clam tomato juice?
Do you remember those?
Am I wrong on that? Is that it's clam tomato juice?
Clamata. No, clamato or clamata. I can't remember the exact name.
Clamato.
Yes. Clamato. Thank you.
The masculine form.
I just remember it from the Bud Light, the big billboards everywhere when they did the Bud. It was the Bud and Bud Light Clamato. So it was just basically red beer, but with like clam juice as well, which I did not know was a thing, but they tried to sell as a thing. Multiple. It wasn't just Bud Light. They kind of led the charge, like how White Claw started to do seltzers, and then every other company came out with a seltzer. So.
Yeah, but no one can do it like the White Claw.
Ain't no laws. No, that stuff, you mentioned your favorite flavors. I got to go lime, but yeah, lime, White Claw.
Lime's a solid. Yeah. Lime's a solid.
Absolutely.
I still have a few left in the fridge at home, so those will definitely be drank today. And along with those Kolsch. Though that will be my St. Patrick's Day drinking. I have a bunch of St. Patrick's Day by the numbers statistics here. 61% of Americans plan to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And this was from last year in 2023, so I'm guessing that's somewhat around the same.
Yeah.
$6.85 billion projected to be spent on St. Patrick's Day. $44 average amount of St. Patrick's partiers will spend. 80% of celebrators plan to wear green. 50 pounds of dye are used to turn the Chicago River green. That's something.
I love that.
Okay, and are we sure that that is completely environmentally safe?
I mean, I thought that we've
I heard, would hope it is, but...
thought we've heard in the past that this is the dye that, like, you can make green out of, like,
this is
algae.
The good type of dye.
Well, it's a natural. You can, green is one of the colors you can get from nature. It's not like red number 40, where it's just totally artificial and allegedly giving you cancer, whatever the hell people say about it. So, no, I do think as far as, like, that river goes, it's a lot more natural. It's not the same stuff they're just dropping into your beer at the local bar.
How long the green dye lasts? 5 hours. 400,000 people typically watch the river being dyed in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Almost like a parade event.
Okay, I was, because I saw this one earlier. I was like, how are they able to calculate this? The market value of Leprechaun's Pot of Gold. $1.84 million. That means that the pot would contain 1,000 1 ounce gold coins.
Thank you. Okay, it was like, so how do they calculate this?
How big is said pot?
That would be very heavy. I don't think any leprechaun nor human. You got to get like a crane to move that pot of gold.
You know, we can throw out some more of these facts throughout the show. I don't want to burn through these right away. I haven't even gotten to the drinking facts yet.
Ooh, see, these are the more that's like the necessary info for St. Patty's Day. Yes. I do. My wife did ask me. She's like, wonder how many Deweys are going to happen this weekend.
Oh, I was getting plenty of those. I was getting stats from law firm websites and recovery websites, and I'm like, that's not fun. All
right? If I remember correctly, the Portland proper area around New Year's had a 14 DUI arrests, I want to say, from news reports. But
only 14?
That's what I was like, good for us. I feel like that's low. Uber and Lyft and taxis are actually making a difference. Spend the $30 and don't be an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're almost like NFL players at this point in our lives. Like, there are plenty of ways to get home. You do not need to drink and drive. You have Uber, you have Lyft. Hell, you have radio cab, all right? Figure something out.
You don't have to be rich to get
you
that,
have Lime
that ride.
Scooters. Wait, maybe don't do that.
You used to have to like hire town cars to do this S, okay? Like, no, no longer. You're we right. We are like NFL players. We're living large, Joe.
We should go real old-timey on St. Patrick's Day and have a bunch of buggies around town. Like a Ooh. Bunch of horse and carriages. Like
all driven by leprechauns or people dressed as leprechauns.
Irish dudes, too, with the accent.
Hell yeah.
I'll take you home. Hop on me, lads.
Hop on me, lads. You give me a couple of shekels.
Yeah, that would be great. That is something that needs to be done. We need like 100 of those just for St. Patrick's, St. Patrick's Day. I don't know where we're going to find all those for just one day of the year. Maybe we just bring them back. 365. Just need, instead of Ubers and Lyfts, let's just have 100 buggies around the city of Portland.
Joe Fish for mayor, that's your platform right there. Yeah. On St. Patty's Day, it's a horse and buggy day in Portland
again.
Rob
is screwed if that's what I'm running on.
Right. No, honestly, I think a lot of people be into that because it's just fun, and that's what we need, just some fun.
Yeah. All right, speaking of green, there was a lot of green confetti being poured on the court of Las Vegas last night. Actually, I didn't even see the color of the confetti. I left the house, like my dad's house, immediately after the game was finished. So I was just listening to the broadcast, the post-game wrap-up right here that you heard it all on 1080 The Fan of the Pac-12 Championship. So we get into that. Selection Sunday is today. Again, I said this last week. I'll say it again. One of my most favorite times of year. Spring, golf, Selection Sunday, March Madness, Conference Championship Week, all of it. This is just, I love this time of year. March is one of the best calendar months of the sports calendar. Right behind, I believe it's October.
Yes.
October 1, March number 2. So we'll go over some of the big conference champion shakeups, some things that we saw yesterday. We finally have seen the trade go down in the NFL, what everybody has been waiting for, an embarrassing night in the NBA. And I'll have to ask you later in the show, when is the last time you've seen this player do this specific thing? So we will get into all of that. But first, let's talk about it. Ducks! Holy crap. Never a doubt, right? Right?
Oh, yeah, I've had faith in Dana Altman the entire time.
Right? All right, get to that next here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. All right, let's spit out some more of these St. Patrick's Day facts for you. It is indeed the day we celebrate a random Catholic priest that was alive, like, what, 304 years ago?
A lot of those holidays.
Again, who is St. Patrick? What made him so special?
A reason to drink. That's who he is.
Yes. Would you bet that St. Patrick is the most popular drinking day of the year?
That's not surprising, because I feel like there's literally, you know, Christmas, you've got a lot going on, very popular drinking holiday, same with New Year's, but the reason that we do St. Paddy's Day, other than wearing green, is to go out and drink. So I just don't feel like there's any other holiday associated with alcohol like St. Patrick's.
So, it is not the most popular drinking day. It does come in third. It is, though, the most popular holiday for beer drinking.
It's okay, that makes sense. Then I guess what, the most popular drinking holiday would actually be New Year's, then.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. 4.2 average number of drinks consumed per person on St. Patrick's Day.
I doubled that yesterday.
how about this? A lot of men just coming to realization on this holiday that they are, in fact, alcoholics. 36% of men admit to binge drinking on St. Patrick's Day. Oh, on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, that's...
When I first read this, I thought it was them just admitting to binge drinking regularly. Like, confessing on today, like, you guys, I think I have a problem.
And I'm not going to sound like a total degenerate here by saying this, I hope. But I didn't think you could binge drink just for a day. That doesn't qualify like under the actual definition of binge drinking. Got to be a lot longer, right?
How many pints of Guinness would you guess are consumed worldwide on St. Patrick's Day? Pints.
Pint, like 50 billion?
That's a lot.
I don't know.
That's a lot of pints.
There's 6 billion people in the world? I don't know.
Every man, woman, and child.
As four.
You get a pint of Guinness. You get a pint of Guinness. 13 million pints of Guinness.
Oh, I went way over.
Consumed. Well, there is a lot of drinks that were consumed on the campus of one University of Oregon last night because the Oregon Ducks, never doubt, baby.
I gotta say, I might need to eat a little Dana Altman crow, as the YouTube chat is pointing out.
You know, I'll take a sliver of that crow. I'll take a little hunk of it because not so much Dana Altman, but listen, I think we can all be real here, is that they are not making the tournament if they do not win the Pac-12 tournament.
Oh, no way.
I mean, after that loss to Cal 2 weeks ago, I was like, yeah, no, they're done.
They were a bubble team that was out.
So, for them to make this run, Dana Altman, I don't know what he is saying in those locker rooms in November, December, January, because he gets a completely different team in February and March. Late February to around this time, he just tells them, like, listen, guys, none of this really matters. Just when we get to February, March, let's just take care of business, okay? Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall. I mean, maybe it was just a matter of him being in the locker room and being like, do you guys want to keep playing after this? After this trip to Vegas, do you want to keep playing and to have your season? Do you seniors? Do you want it to keep going? Do you want to keep building your story of this program? Well, then we need to win out. We need to win this tournament. And if you guys want to be on the March Madness, if you want to be playing next Thursday, next Friday, next Saturday, Sunday, perhaps, we got to win it all.
Yeah.
And I was in this very office on Friday. We were looking at the spread for the Arizona-Oregon game before that one tipped off. Ooh. Arizona was 12.5 point
favorite. Yeah, 11 or 12.5. It was something stupid.
Oh, I even said, like, my guess when we were trying to guess what the spread was, I was like, I'm going to go 8.5. It's tourney time. It's March Madness. It's conference. Like, it can't be that much.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, Arizona 12.5. I was like, damn, I would have gone like 8.5 there. And not only do they fall behind by 14 in that game, they come back and win by like 8. And beat Arizona. So at that point, you see them win that game. You're like, okay, they have a chance to win whoever the hell they're playing tomorrow. And it ended up being Colorado. Colorado gets the win against Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a little bit of sweet justice for this Oregon Duck program to face Colorado in the Pac-12 championship game because they had lost to them twice this year already. And it was this was all kind of like exercising the demons of this season. And the Ducks, they end up coming out on top with the win in a great game, a banger of a game for the Pac-12 basketball season, the last Pac-12 basketball season to go out, which is always sad to say and sad to talk about. But Oregon, just like the Pac-12 championship football game, the Pac-12 championship basketball game, it goes out with a bang. And this time, it goes out with an Oregon victory.
It was definitely fitting to see Oregon beating a Colorado team that was, what, like you said, 2 weeks ago, just on paper, a ton better than the Ducks. Nobody thought that these guys were close to each other. Now Oregon finishes with 23 wins, Colorado with 24. Nobody saw that happening. So I guess as far as Dana Altman goes, his ability to get his players up, what I was calling him out for last week, I got to eat crow on that. I got to take a step back. Maybe I need to reevaluate my version of success in college basketball. You usually see really good teams winning 25, 26, 27 games, right? And when Oregon gets those 20-win seasons, I understand why people think, okay, this is successful, but it comes down to these moments during the season where you're just not shooting like you can. And Dana Altman's been talking about that in particular all season, where it seems like one game they can shoot the ball really well, then the next game, actually perfect example, against Colorado, they only hit 2 threes. They can't shoot at all. So what do? They adapt, and Folly Dante goes 12 for 12, absolutely perfect. Looks like a college Tim Duncan at times last night when he was pushing through. It did not matter. Whatever he wanted in the paint, he got, and then had basically perfect performances, obviously, outside of the three-point line. I'm talking more so at the end of the game where they're drawing fouls, getting free throws. Really just gritty performances from Shelstad and Cousinard. That's all you can ask for. That was a gritty win. They just found a way to do it, and that's kind of been especially the tale for the last two games for Oregon. Against Arizona, they're shooting the ball well. They get it done. But against Colorado, it was, I think they were down by, like, what, 7 or 8 early in the first half. It was really interesting to see them just kind of tailing through. They're able to stay within 4, within 6 in the first half, and then by the end, they lead. They just get that momentum going, and they never give it back to Colorado. So props to the Ducks. I'm going to eat a little crow on Dana. Not sure that the NCAA tournament is going to be as successful for Oregon if they don't hit threes. You've got to hit threes to win those games, but proud of my Ducks for sure.
Yeah, they fell down 21-13 in that first half. And that was, I mean, they had a stretch there where they just could not hit anything. I think they missed 11 of 12 shots.
Ugh.
It was just brutal to
watch.
But
still hung in there.
They did, and they were able to just chip away. And then by the end of the first half, they actually went into the first half, the halftime locker room, with a lead, 33-30. So it was a close game, and then in the second half, they were just trading punches back and forth. But you brought him up. The Ducks don't win this game without Nafale Dante on both sides of the floor. He was intercepting passes. He was blocking shots. That play at the end where he blocked the shot and then was able to tip it right back in out of bounds, like right before it went out of bounds, and give it, I think it was Shelstad who ended up getting that loose ball. Like, that guy, you want to talk about being happy for a specific player on the team? Nafale Dante, right? He has been there 3 years now, if I'm getting my timing right, but has yet to go to the tournament, and it's been riddled with injuries, not playing as much, having great performances, followed by not being able to play at all. And so for him to have this run and be named most outstanding player of the Pac-12 tournament, like, dude, tip of the cap to him, because he balled out. Like, super happy to see that performance out of him in the biggest stage, in the last stage of the Pac-12. And the Ducks, I mean, they are taking a tourney bid from some team somewhere, because, again, they're not going to the tournament if they do not win the Pac-12 championship in Las Vegas. Again, bittersweet feeling that this is the last Pac-12 basketball tournament, but hey, good on the Ducks for getting this one. The only team in FBS to have their program in the conference championship in both football and basketball. The Oregon Ducks.
Wow.
Out of all the teams that would qualify for that because of FBS, obviously, like Division I, there's like 300 teams, but FBS, we're talking about 130, right?
I mean, speaking of eating crow, Joe, I was literally saying in my rant about Ducks basketball needing to be not as good as the Ducks football program, but like trying to be there, trying to be a premier program. I don't know what more you could ask for, so I'm going to shut up. I was wrong. The Ducks did actually get two heights that we didn't think that they would this year, and that alone keeps Dana Altman his job for at least 3-4 more seasons.
Listen, even talking about the spread the other day on Friday before that Arizona game, like, I was sitting there, I was like, they're not going to win this.
No,
they're,
seriously.
They're not going to beat Arizona. This is not going to, no. Like, they barely got past UCLA the day before. I was like, it's just not going to happen. And then I'm wrapping up my round at Wildwood on Friday, and I'm just checking the score. I'm like, hey, holy crap. And then I put the phone away, wrap up my nine holes, and then I get in the car and flip on 1080 to listen to the end of the game. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to do this. The Ducks beat Arizona. Like, and we're going to talk about the rest of college basketball because this is – evolved over the last, I don't know, I'd say maybe decade now, where it's anybody's ball game. Like the blue bloods, the top of the rankings, nobody is a sure bet anymore.
Yeah. And I know. I said last year, I think that rankings in the tournament are starting to become meaningless.
The parity is insane. And we're going to get into some of the conference championship matchups, what we saw transpire yesterday, because there was plenty of drama to go around all over the place. We're going to get into that next. Plus, some more St. Patrick's Day drinking facts. Of course, it is the holiday. We will celebrate. We do that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Talking about the Ducks winning the Pac-12 championship tournament. Another conference championship drama. You can text it into the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4 to treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit Vancouver4.com. 503-864-6326. 503-864-6FAN. You can also interact with us on YouTube as well. And that's where we have a couple comments there. As you mentioned earlier about the Schultzy needing to eat some Altman Crow, which, again, I will take a sliver. I'll take a bite of that as well.
Little taste.
Yes, yes. Cooked to perfection, it looks like.
Darn tootin' after last night, man.
Someone also saying on the YouTube chat, gotta love the grittiness, and I'm a Beaver fan. How about that? From across the aisle, people seeing that the Ducks playing their asses off to get that win yesterday.
Yeah, and that's one thing. I love that Will Ortner here, fellow 1080 The Fan personality, says about college basketball that chaos rules. That's kind of, when you see the way the Ducks played the last couple of games, you can get it done in the midst of chaos, and really, you know, just playing that gritty style of basketball still works, and that's why people still love to watch college hoops. I get it.
Yes, yes. Speaking of college hoops, there was plenty of drama yesterday. as I pull up the scoreboard and filibuster a little bit. The first one that I saw yesterday, my God, Iowa State just absolutely bludgeoning Houston. And this is what I was talking about, like no team is safe. Here you have Houston 30-3, number one team in the land according to AP rankings.
The darling for like the last 2 months in college basketball, if not the whole season.
Oh my God. 69-41, Iowa State beats Houston. Iowa State, according to some study that Jeff Sacramento, our boss, sent us, Iowa State has the most diehard fan base in college basketball. Never would have guessed.
That's not surprising at all.
Did not realize that they their fans went hard like that. And the Cyclones, they went hard against the Houston Cougs, 69-41. Now people are saying that should be your fourth number one seed is Iowa State. There are some people are saying
they're the best. I mean, I'm not surprised that a really big fan base, or the biggest, comes out of the Corn Belt. Like, that's, what else do you have to do around there? There's college hoops, there's a couple college football teams, and maybe a baseball team here and there. There's not much.
Anything interesting about corn right now? Oh, yeah, corn is always interesting.
Corn.
That's it. Yes, corn.
Family Guy cutaway if you don't know what we're talking about.
So Iowa State just works Houston. I mean, 41 points, that is god-awful.
You know,
Kelvin Sampson should be ashamed of his team.
Well, it's really
you
the
start blasting some teenagers.
No, Joe, unfortunately, I mean, he maybe feels a little shame, but it is the blueprint for how a lesser team beats one of the top dogs in college basketball. You see it every single year in the NCAA tournament. How do you see a number one seed go down by like an 11, by a number 9? Well, usually that team, the lesser talented team, slows the game down, and you see that. How many points did Houston score?
41.
And I get college total. Basketball is a low-scoring game sometimes.
41 total.
And that is the best team that we're saying in all of college basketball. So what did Iowa State do? They kept the pace of the game down, and they were able to shoot some threes. If you're hitting your threes, and if you keep the pace of the game down against the Blue Bloods in college basketball, you will give yourself a chance to win. But you've got to play perfectly. Obviously, Iowa State has a lot more room for error than like an FAU, as people are saying, oh, they need to be the number one fourth seed, or the fourth number one seed now in the upcoming Big Dance. But that is how you do it against bigger teams. 41 points. That's just wow.
Well, FAU effed it up by losing to Temple, and now Temple will be going to the tournament along with FAU. Hmm. You had UConn beat Marquette in the Big East Championship 73-57. That thing was looking like a snoozer to begin with, and then they started to light it up in the second half there. So UConn definitely locking up one of those number one seeds. One of my favorite moments of yesterday, though, NC State beating North Carolina for the ACC championship.
Oh, what a game.
Dude, that was one. I mean, it's North Carolina. You see North Carolina lose. I mean, that's always going to make me a little bit happy.
I love them Tobacco Road upsets, baby. Don't you?
But you lose to your in-state rival, NC State, who literally had to win out. They had to win the entire tournament, just kind of like the Ducks, in order to be even get a chance at the March Madness in the tournament. And they do it. And I think that we have a star in the making. DJ Burns for NC State. That is a hoss playing basketball. That is an offensive lineman out there. And I don't know if I like anything more on the basketball court than a dude that is pushing 300, that can handle the ball, dish the ball out. His conditioning is probably in question, you know, how fast he can get up and down the court.
Yeah, he can shoot the three, though.
Yeah, and I forget what team I saw this on a couple nights ago, but it was during the women's conference championship. But just a big old chick out there. Again, she was, like, big, and she was balling out. Like, someone that does not fit the mold of an athletic, like, long, lanky basketball player, and it's like, listen, yeah, you may be able to run way faster than me, jump higher than me, but I'm going to ball out, and I have a basketball IQ like a savant out here.
Yeah, and you're smart.
Let me just pull the Magic Johnson, like doing the no look. There was one play this DJ Burns kid had where he started backing down a dude from the three-point line. From the three-point line, he starts posting up a guy.
Just bodying him.
And then one-hand bounce pass leads a guy to the hoop for a layup bucket. This was late in the game. Like, it was the greatest looking play I had ever seen, because again, you just have this big dude backing down, bah, 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 and then easy dish for the two.
Sabonis used to do that back in the day for the Blazers, man. He'd start like at the north of the free throw
line.
But
he wasn't fat. Like,
what are you talking about? Sabonis wasn't.
Dude,
fat.
I'm telling you, go look up this DJ Burns kid.
I know who you're talking. He looks closer to Robert Keith Traylor.
Yes.
Than he does like to like an Arvydas Sabonis. But Sabonis started his career very skinny. He ended it a lot chubbier. I mean, his knees just, you know, just couldn't stay healthy because of his size. So that was kind of that reasoning. But yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, he's a hoss. That's a good word to describe him. A hoss.
6'9", 275.
Woo, and that's it. You probably would assume that's an underestimate. 275.
I was pushing 300 for him. Hopefully, I'm just gonna say he's 300. It just makes my narrative that much better. That we got a 300 pounder out there for NC State, leading them to victory.
Yeah, close enough. You round up. It's fine.
That was one of my favorite moments yesterday. There were some stats going around that NC State is the second team ever to have to win 5 games in 5 days to make the tournament. The other
crazy
team that was able to do that was the 2011 UConn Huskies, who ended up winning it all. So NC State, congratulations. You're the 2024 national champion. Just lock it in now.
Get your bets in. I mean, that money's got to be insane at this point. So get it in early while you can turn $10 into a lottery ticket.
Yeah, NC State, I also, I think they were like 5,000-1 odds to win the ACC championship tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, like the
people cashed, man.
Dude, the public, it was rough. It was a rough weekend for the public as far as betting goes. NC State also with more wins at the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. this week than the Washington Wizards have the entire season.
That's just, God, can we get some better teams in the NBA, please? It's like seven cities that we're talking about, and then everybody else is like, then it's dumpster fires below that.
5-0, Washington Wizards 4-26. And actually, NC State plus 10,000 to win the tournament. Plus 10,000.
I'm going to go put 10 bucks on that right now, just because I can. Will I win? No, but if I do, I'll be buying the champagne.
That was plus 10,000 to win the ACC tournament.
So it wasn't plus 5,000.
No, it was even
actually
higher than that.
Plus,
yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. It's St. Patrick's Day, and you're like making me feel jealous that I didn't cash in on some of that luck already. Seriously, Joe, I'd be drinking the champagne of beers, eating filet mignon live on the air right now if I had cashed.
Yeah, they're feeling good. And again, good for NC State, because whenever you see North Carolina lose, it's just, you know, makes me a little happy inside. And especially one of my least favorite trends is the team walking out of the tunnel dancing with a giant boombox. Like, I hate that the 49ers do that.
I can't stand boombox guy that doesn't have
North Carolina
on.
Was doing that as well. They had all the swag coming out, all the confidence in the world. And then look at you now. Look at you now, losing to NC State.
Trying to bring MC Hammer back. What the hell are we doing?
So NC State, that was definitely one of my favorite moments of conference championship weekend. One more that was, this was one of the worst moments of the conference championship weekend. And we'll get to that next, because I just really hope this kid is not a senior. That's all I have to say. We get to that next here on Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, St. Patrick's Day. Hope you're having a good one. Maybe you're boozing already. I hope that you maybe are drinking a, I don't know, is a Bloody Mary? I guess that's kind of religious.
Oh, yeah. I guess it is. I don't think a mimosa is religious at all, and I'm not sure you can turn that green because it's already orange. It'll just end up looking like poo.
Yeah, that's true. Don't mix those two colors. Yeah, that will look gross. That will not look very good. 174% more beer is sold on St. Patrick's Day than usual.
I'm not surprised. I've seen every bar near me in Wilsonville offering specials. I live like in a town with no bar action, but hey, on St. Patty's Day, they try to get people out.
153% more spirit sales on St. Patrick's Day than usual.
Ooh. All being Bushmills whiskey or Jameson or Bailey's Irish Cream.
Proper right? Number 12.
Ah, yes.
Dude, I don't know if you saw the video of Conor McGregor on the red carpet the other night for Roadhouse.
No, I missed Conor. God, I hate that.
Well, there was just a clip going around of him doing an interview with someone, you know. Conor, how was it being in a movie? Yada, yada, yada.
How was it just being allowed to just be a douche all the time?
Dude was yacked out of his mind.
I'm like, not surprised.
He did all the blow. Like, all of it. Like he,
allegedly.
Oh, dude, he could not sit still for just moving, touching his suit, touching his face, and just talking a million miles. I was like, oh my God.
It's like you couldn't have waited until after the red carpet, bro. Like, he must have just like baselined in the limo on the way to the ceremony. My God.
Guy was absolutely zooted. Could not believe it.
I
could. Yeah, I was like, wow, yeah, there you go. Post-career Conor there.
Name one good thing that he's done. Name one thing that, like, makes you be like, oh, Conor McGregor, decent dude, in the last decade. Name one.
Roadhouse.
No.
No, I'm definitely not watching Roadhouse.
That no, I'm going to go watch the original Roadhouse because Patrick Swayze, rest in peace, is awesome, and we're just now remaking everything. We're out of ideas.
All right, and isn't he's Irish, right? Yeah, he's not Scottish.
Who?
McGregor? Yeah, that's he's an Irish guy.
Irish?
Right?
Let's Google this
guy.
Yes,
he's Irish.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Because
it's always, what is it, Scottish? The Scottish flag is like blue with like the white X going through it, right? Is that the Scottish flag?
Sounds right, yeah.
Where's the Scottish holiday, damn it?
Like the coat of arms or something or whatever that is on there.
Scottish flag there, yeah. 31% of Americans plan to cook a special dinner on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, so like some actual authentic corned beef sandwiches or, I mean, shepherd's pie is a very authentic Irish dish.
Bangers and mash!
Ish.
That's a little bit more British, but 8.8% increase in cabbage shipments in the week leading up to St. Patrick's Day.
And can I give you all a tip about any Irish bar out there? If you walk into an Irish bar and they're serving chicken wings, go find another Irish bar, okay?
What's wrong with chicken wings at an Irish bar?
Are they Irish in any way, shape, or form?
I don't know. Are they chicken purveyors up there in Ireland?
I don't know, but I guess if it's like chicken wings amongst a regular menu of full Irish fare, don't just turn out and walk out, but... I'm telling you, if you like walk in, there's like four items on the menu, and like one of them is chicken wings. It's like, what the hell are we doing here? This is not a true Irish bar. Somebody just opened up a bar and slapped like an Irish theme on it. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at. So
there's a fun little Irish pub in Newport. Ooh. I'm trying to remember the name of it here.
I'm gonna be on the coast tonight, actually. So maybe I could smosey on down, check that out from Lincoln City.
Nana's Irish Pub. Solid little reviews. 4.6 out of almost 3,000 reviews.
Oh.
On Google.
Well, that's a reason for Guy Fieri to go do an episode of Diners, Drives-In, and Dives then. How about that?
Yes, you can get all the classic Irish foods that they have.
Probably offer some clam chowder since they're on the coast as well.
They do have clam chowder, and I remember getting the clam chowder, and it is much different. It's like it's got like corn in it, and
not a corn guy.
It was very interesting. It was much better than I anticipated.
But, I mean, our clam, I outside of like a couple of spots that don't just automatically add bacon here in the Pacific Northwest, I'm not really a huge fan of our clam chowder. We always end up going to restaurants like that. You see on the menu, it says New England clam chowder. And then they're like, oh, bacon, this, that, and the other thing. That is not a true New England clam chowder. Do not stop, like, all of y'all people out there, stop putting bacon in our clam chowder.
Whoa.
For one. Stop.
Oh, no, it, continue.
No, then give me an option without bacon, because I, as much as I love bacon, it literally covers the taste of everything in a cup or a bowl of clam chowder. And then two, it is not true New England clam chowder, but every menu I see where they got bacon in the clam chowder, it's like, get me a cup of New England clam chowder. And it's hard for me to know, like, if it has bacon in it or not. Because when it says New England, you expect just straight-up clam chowder. We don't... We got some issues here in the PNW with a couple of seafood items, I tell you.
Listen, my dad, he makes a clam chowder, New England clam chowder, every Christmas. It is our Christmas tradition meal for him. Ooh. To make a big old pot. He used to work as a cook at a Lincoln City restaurant back in the day.
Oh, so the clams that you got just must have been out of this world.
He was well gone from said restaurant when I was a kid. I never actually ate the clam chowder until I grew up and realized that clam chowder is good. I always wanted him to like make me a grilled cheese instead or something
I don't know. I grew up hating guacamole. Now I love it. It makes sense. You get your adult palate.
You grow. But, he's been throwing bacon in that thing forever. And so to me, if it ain't got bacon in the clam chowder, like it's not the same.
I love bacon, dude, but I just don't. In any dish, really. I don't think you want bacon covering every other flavor, but it just seems like, you know, you've had like bean and bacon soup, right? That I feel like the base flavor of that is mostly bacon with a little bean. And when you do that to clam chowder, you add that bacon, it becomes mostly bacon with a tiny bit of clam. But that's, you know what, I'm not speaking for everybody over here. I'm just speaking for my chubby little food-loving ass. So
I'm trying to see what's in this damn clam chowder. At this place in Newport, I'm telling you, it's not traditional. They like put like corn. I think there's some sort of leafy green in there too, and it's caught me off guard when she brought it. And I'm like, well, we're diving into this, and it was damn good. But yeah, this place, Nana's Irish Pub in Newport, it's right there in downtown Newport, not by the bay, but
up a little bit, not the downtown on the water.
Is that Nye Beach over by there?
Yeah, you know, exactly where you're talking about
and stuff like that. But yeah, you can get your shepherd's pie, you can get a steak and Guinness pie, Irish sausage rolls, traditional Irish breakfast, corned beef and cabbage dinner, which I'm sure a lot of people will be making tonight. You can get your traditional Irish bread pudding.
Yeah, see, no wonder the ratings at this place are so good. Because, as we were saying, they got true, authentic Irish fare.
I got the Cúchulainn chicken sandwich. Chicken breast, deep fried, coated in Nana's hot sauce on a roll served with hot house blue cheese dressing. Mm. Tasty.
That's dirty. That's dirty good.
Very
yes,
tasty. Did you by chance see what happened with Kent State?
I missed the Kent State. There was so much college basketball yesterday, and I was helping my dad. He's got a bad hip, and just trying to get some things done in the nice weather. So I was not able to catch my eyes on that one, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you know, it is Akron and Kent State. So, I mean, like, of all the games and everything else going on, it's not like I'm like, how dare you, Jordan?
I'll be honest. Oregon, Colorado was the priority for me yesterday.
I cannot believe you did not watch Akron and Kent State. But this was, this is terrible. Akron and Kent State, close game towards the end here. Kent State takes the lead with about 6 seconds left. They take a 61-60 lead, right? And Akron has to inbound. I don't know if they have a timeout. So, like, they're frantic with it, right? So they take the, Kent State is up 61-60, all right? You have the lead. And this poor guy, Julius Rollins, does not have the wherewithal and knowledge of what the situation is. And what does he do? He intentionally fouls a player on Akron. And they have the lead, 61-60. So Akron goes to the free throw line for a 1-1. Possibly, it might have just been, you know, 2. I'm trying to remember the complete situation, but... Okay, and thank God, I'm looking at it now. This kid's a redshirt sophomore. So if he was a senior and this is how you go out with your team, I mean, this is the worst thing to happen to Kent State since, well, I mean, I think we know the worst thing to happen to Kent State. But this is egregious. Like, the coach's reaction was like as if he just saw his family, his dog killed in front of him. He is like hands and face running down the length of the court. And Julius Rollins, the poor kid, he knows too. Like after, well, he didn't know at the time, but afterwards realizing what he had done, intentionally fouling with a lead. So Akron, what happens? They go to the line, they sink both of them. And then Kent State frantically tries to run down and get a shot up. They don't get it off. And they lose, and then Akron goes on to win the MAC tournament championship and will be going to the tournament. I don't know what Kent State's record is. I don't know if they had a chance. Like, don't think they're getting an at-large bid out of the MAC. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just seeing their record. They were 17-17 on the season.
So this would have been epic for them.
Yes. They went 8-10 in conference play this year.
So, and they tasted it, just to know that they had it.
They were right there.
Yeah.
Dude, that is brutal. Like, I'm doing it early. Usually we'll save it for the end of the show. Worst thing I saw in sports this week, but that has to be it. Just the not having the situational awareness and forgetting the score, basically pulling a J.R. Smith.
Oh, God. I mean, that's worse than J.R. Smith because you still had the opportunity to make it right, right? No, this is worse. That game was tied. You had the lead, and you handed the other team a chance to take the lead and win, and that's what you did. This man, we celebrate their big accomplishments whenever they do really awesome things, and then whenever they screw up, we're told, like, well, guys, they're just kids. You know, they are humans. We need to remember to treat them. And it's like, well, then why do we celebrate their biggest, like, accomplishments then? Like, no, this kid should remember this forever. It shouldn't define his life, but whenever he steps on a basketball court, I hope he will remember, yeah, keep your awareness of the situation.
I think the worst part about this is waking up the next day.
You think?
I think so. I think he wakes up today and just be like, oh my God, that happened. That wasn't a nightmare. Like,
The feeling did not go away.
Dude, yeah, you're living with that for a while. Like, that's eating at you. You know what? I hope, though, that this young man, he goes out and he balls out, and Kent State has the best season in Kent State history next year, led by him, dropping 20 points a game. But I still think that even if that happens, you can't shake that.
It's almost like a Bill Buckner moment. You know, Bill Buckner, the infamous Red Sox first baseman that allowed the grounder to go under his legs. Could have fielded it very easily, but lost the Red Sox that whatever 80s-something World Series. But That's kind of what you feel like this kid is going to be feeling for a long time.
That's so brutal. So brutal.
Yeah.
All right, looking at some other conference championship stuff, you know, some teams won some games, some teams lost some games. Purdue, still underachieving, losing to Wisconsin, 76-75. So Wisconsin playing in the Big Ten tournament final today against Illinois. And what else we got here? Temple. I said that they beat Florida Atlantic. That was actually not for the American Athletic Conference Championship. That was a semifinal game. So they're playing the UAB Blazers today.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of.
Which also I don't get real quickly. I know we're against it. I don't get how they have Selection Sunday the same day as like conference championship games.
I mean, are all these morning games, do they have like any 6 p.m. tips tonight, or are these all wrapped up before Selection Sunday?
I mean, the last tip-off is Wisconsin-Illinois at 12:30. So, I mean, that's going to wrap up around 3 o'clock our time.
And then Selection Sunday begins, I think, at like 4 p.m.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, so it's literally, they are coming down to the wire with, what, one or two inclusions. But you and I both know, Joe, and most sports fans do, that these selections are 80-90% already settled. So whether or not that changes anything at the end, you know, it's going to be a difference for two teams, but that's why they're there making that announcement right as we finish up.
Well, again, it's like, do they have two different, multiple different brackets ready to go made? Like, okay, well, this is the one if Temple
possibly
were to win today.
Why wouldn't,
this
I mean,
this is the one that if Wisconsin beats Illinois today, so that, like, I can imagine that's what they would have to do.
You see professional news organizations, if like somebody, you know, a celebrity is getting older, there's a big event, it's like, hey, okay, prepare an obituary, but also prepare a good story in case they live. Like, no, this is kind of preparing for all scenarios here and all outcomes, and that would be kind of like you filling out 11 brackets, I fill out multiple as well. Every big dance is just have every option available, and they've had a computer already doing that for like a couple weeks, I'm sure, if not more.
Wow, hot take on the YouTube chat. All clam chowder is awful. Clams should not be eaten by humans. By Evan. Evan, you could not be more wrong, my man.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if like they don't like clams or if they just don't like humans eating any kind of animal in general.
Shellfish.
And just take that take and shove it, okay?
Listen, Clamato, terrible.
No.
Clam chowder, amazing.
Great.
All right, we're going to get to hour number two. The trade has finally happened. I would say that Chicago, you're on the clock, but I think we all know what's going to happen there. So Washington, you are now on the clock. Embarrassing night in the NBA. When's the last time you ever saw a player doing this? And we'll get to hour number two right now. Sound good? Sound good to you?
Let's do it, baby. Some more St. Patty's Day celebrations.
I mean, we should be getting to hour number two right now. But
then we're technically in it.
As is tradition on 1080.
It's my fault.
All right. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, coming up here. 1080, The Fan.
Dude. 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 Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, no Rashad Taylor today, but Jordan Schultze, the Don, across the glass.
You can feel my nipples, baby. What? I'm just going with the open.
I wish that music wasn't playing.
I know.
Because that is, I mean, We would take that as a drop all day long, baby.
There's a reason why I control things and why I left the music up while saying it there, good sir. Like, I am on the board right now, and I am not going to let myself get trapped like that.
Cut sheetrock with these things right now.
That a baby.
Happy St. Patrick's Day today. I'm hoping to have a little bit of a luck of the Irish because I got some money on the players right now at TPC Sawgrass. I'm in a pool play where me and my buddies, you choose six golfers, one from each tier. You get a tier of tier one golfers, tier two golfers. And Thursday morning, things were not looking good for my team, Island Boys. We were last. But right now, I'm five strokes off the lead. I need Sahith Tagala to fall apart. I need Scottie Scheffler to fall apart. I need my boy Brian Harman, which unfortunately I'm saying he's my boy today, even though he is just excruciating to watch. And Hideki Matsuyama, I need them to ball out. I need them to do some things for me. And Colin Morikawa, pull it together, buddy. What are you doing?
It's just good to have golf on again, honestly. I was watching some of that yesterday morning before I left the house. I was just like, oh, the Players Championship. Golf is really back. I have a hard time like getting into the signature events before this. Like, it's fun. Like, it almost like should I report this in the update? But no, the Players Championship, that's kind of when you know. Like, this is golf season, as you say. This is a perfect time of year, and March Madness is a coming. I love this. And I put $20 on Xander Schauffele, but not to win. So
what, just like a top five?
Yeah. I think my payout's like it's like maybe plus 300 or something. It wasn't great, but it's just like, I guess I'll take the win. You know, I start to get greedy.
Hell yeah, you will.
I know. It sucks when you start to get greedy, being like, oh, I wish I would have bet that one. But yeah, it looks like I'm going to get plus money on Schauffele today, hopefully.
Yeah, he jumped out to the lead yesterday. Thanks in part to Wyndham Clark. I could not believe he steps up to the 17th tee box. And not only does he put it in the water, he puts it like the front of the water by a good 10 to 15 yards. Like, did not even come close to the island. It was like, buddy, what are you doing? What is happening right now?
And that was after his amazing power shot through the rough of basically right onto the green on Thursday. So he kind of went on a downslope for sure.
So Wyndham Clark, the former Oregon Duck and U.S. Open champion of 2023, should be teeing off. I don't know what time exactly.
Let's see. The two leaders are at 10:40. It looks like Wyndham is at with Xander Schauffele at 10:40. You got Brian Harman and Maverick McNealy at 10:30.
Yeah, Brian Harman. If you have not seen clips of his pre-shot routine when he, I think it's every shot except off the tee, that guy, dear God, pull the effing trigger, will you please? Like, there are multiple clips, not just from this weekend, but from other tournaments. When he is sizing up a shot, he will look at the target, look down at his ball, look at the probably 14, 15 times.
He's like Nomar, adjust your armbands guy.
Dude, it is just like, I was telling my buddies, I was like, you know, I know I took him in the pool play, and I knew even before this tournament that he did this. But I am never taking him again, just out of the pure frustration of that I have to depend on him. And I'm just like, oh my God, just hit the shot.
Do something.
Dude. He at least acknowledges it. He's like, dude, he's like, I know it's bad. I just need to have the confidence and just go for it. But hey, if you're at 15 under, oh, and Rory just puts it in the water. What a shame for the Irishman. Brian Harman, I'm depending on you today, buddy. All right. Take as much time as you want to try and bring home some bacon for Papa, all right? Daddy needs new shoes. Let's go.
Something to be said about being too wide open there, Joe. You can't stay there forever.
I need Hideki Matsuyama to make a nice little run today, too. That would be nice. I don't gamble a whole lot, but the pool play for golf tournaments, that's one of my favorite things here.
No, that sounds fun. I've done that a couple of times, but it's been a while. It's definitely, it kind of feels like a little bit of March Madness, but like for every golf tournament, it's cool.
Now I hate it because as I refresh the page, Colin Morikawa bogeys, and now I drop down. Damn it! This is not cool.
Dude, he's going to bogey again today. I bet you money.
But if you want to gamble and gamble heavily, come and join us this Thursday and this Friday at Fan Madness up at A-Lin-A, because we will be there. I will be there on Friday. I won't be there on Thursday. I'll actually be at Rogue East Side on Thursday for Sister Station 94.7. We're doing event there. So if you can't make it up to A&A on Thursday, come over to Rogue East Side, and I'll be hanging out with Derek from 94.7, getting some dead guys in us. But and I don't mean that like in a weird way, a dead guy beer.
No, like dead guy
dead
ale.
Dead guy ale, yes, yeah, yes.
Good stuff.
just need to clear the air on that one. But George McCoy, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law present Fan Madness Thursday and Friday, March 21st and 22nd from noon to 7 p.m. each day. And come up to the stadium sports bar. You can hang out, watch all the games on the big old TVs there and get some great food, great drinks. You can then take a little jaunt right behind over to the tables, play some blackjack, mosey around the casino, hit the slots, cash in your tickets, play some bets, play some college bets. You can put in some future bets maybe for college football if you're feeling squirrely.
A little parlay action for the tourney.
Yes, yes. But Danny and Dusty, Isaac and Suk will be there both days, Thursday and Friday. Fan Madness presented by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injuries and missing work ruining day. Call George McCoy and WarrenAllen.com. He'll make them pay. For more info on Fan Madness, go to 1080thefan.com. All right. Let's take a break. Get back on the clock. Let's talk about the trade that we all have been waiting for and a very underwhelming haul in return for the Chicago Bears. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. So it finally happened. We have been waiting all off season for the move. The Chicago Bears, they have traded Justin Fields to, of all teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, big shocker. Very shocking.
That was interesting. I did not see the Steelers being the team that would be trading for him, but granted, when you only have to give up a 6th-round pick in next year's draft, I guess that's, the best you could do. From what I understand is that that was not the best that they could do, is that Chicago had better offers, but they really wanted to make sure that they sent Justin Fields to the right situation. Apparently, they had 5 offers from teams that were looking at Justin Fields as a backup option behind an established starter. But Chicago wanted to do right by him by sending him to a situation where he could play, I don't know, sooner rather than later, I guess. But to me, it's like as soon as he got there, they told him Russell Wilson is the number one. He is the starter. So the 2025 6th-round pick can turn into a 4th-round pick depending on playing time, which I'm guessing is that if he plays less than anticipated.
No more. 51% of snaps.
Okay. So
it will convert to it. So if he plays, then the pick gets better for the Bears.
If he plays, it will get better for the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears, if Justin Fields plays 51% of the Steelers' snaps season, the Bears will get a 4th-rounder instead of a 6th-rounder, right. And this is in 25.
Got him flip-flopped.
You're good. It's confusing as hell. You kidding me? There's so many salary cap nuances in the NFL.
So at the best, if he plays more than 51% of the snaps next season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so that means either Russell Wilson is just god-awful or he gets injured, then that will convert to a 4th-round pick, but it finally happened. Justin Fields has been traded. So, I mean, I don't know which angle to take on this. Is it a matter of Chicago, you messed this up and you did not give Justin Fields the best situation possible? Justin Fields, it was just never that good to begin with. Why the hell are the Steelers adding him? Why the hell do the Eagles want Kenny Pickett instead of him? And the Kenny Pickett situation, that's been interesting to see some of the reports come out of that, is that he was basically being a little bitch about the whole situation in Pittsburgh.
Pouting very loudly.
Yeah, is that last year there was reports saying that he didn't want to suit up the final game of the season as the third-string quarterback, and now the reports are saying that he was willing to compete for the job, but as soon as that they got Russell Wilson, he was like, no.
He was willing to compete against Gardner Minshew or
Mason Rudolph.
Exactly.
Anybody of the like. Mitch Trubisky, come on down.
Come on back, buddy.
So, I mean,
Zach Wilson, anybody?
Yeah, a lot of interesting things coming from this. But again, most importantly, and basically locking up Caleb Williams as the number one draft pick. I mean, he's minus 5,000 as the favorite to be the number one draft pick. So, you know, anybody that wants to say, well, I don't know, it's not a sure thing. It's a sure thing. Caleb Williams is getting drafted to the Bears, number one overall. Whether that is going to work out for them in the end, time will tell. I did find it funny yesterday as I'm watching, you know, SportsCenter and them talking about it, that the highlight package that they had for Caleb Williams, you know, as they're showing, like, the, you know, talking about him and showing the clips, like,
yeah,
three, four of them were him running the ball and running for his life and trying to make a play happen outside of the pocket, which, again, this is what concerns me the most about him, is if he is going to get too happy feet and too nervous, like, right, you know, in the pocket and just like, okay, it's not there. Oh my God, run. And he's just going to bail early. And that's going to cause him trouble early on in the NFL, is not trusting his progressions and not going through first, second, third reads and just like getting anxious and nervous and just being like, oh, well, I got to make something happen. And then just bailing out of the pocket or trying to. NFL players, much better than college football players. So again, time will tell if he learns after the first couple seasons that he can't just be doing that. But now Washington's on the clock. Washington, what do you do? Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? Does New England trade up one spot to go up and get the guy that they want? Does a outlier team? I mean, when you look at the draft order, I guess, you know, obviously Falcons were, I think, the next closest team in draft order wise that needed a quarterback, but then they obviously locked up Kirk Cousins, so that takes them out of the race. Looks like the Vikings are trying to build, buy a couple picks. They traded for Houston's pick today, day or two ago, they traded for Houston's pick, number 23 overall.
Yep.
So now the Vikings have, I believe, 11 and 23.
Yeah, trying to swing that maybe for the Patriots 3 or the Commanders 2 if they are still willing.
And, you know, they obviously have picks next year that they can lump into that,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Years after. So it's like there's still a lot to happen between now and the end of April. But Washington, you are now on the clock. What do you do?
There, you're right, Joe. There's in this one story, there are like three or four other stories. So let's try to parse these out really quick. First, what you said about what the Bears got and that they could have gotten more for Justin Fields, I can't stand that in a position that you are in Chicago, you are desperately trying to win. Eberflus, who is most likely on his last leg, we thought he was this season, but this last season definitely is coming up in 2024 as their head coach.
Definitely a lame duck coach.
Yeah, you wonder why they're making moves that benefit their player that's going out at all more than their team. They need to do anything they can. So as far as that goes, just don't understand it. I think it's stupid. They should have taken the best offer available to them.
Yeah, that's, I don't get that. Like, yeah. It was like, well, we had better offers, but we wanted to do right by Justin Fields. Like, okay, I get it, but this is sports. It's a business. Yeah. Like, make the best move for the franchise.
This wasn't Damian Lillard. This was a guy that you drafted a couple of years ago, and he didn't work. Move on. The dance is over, and you've broke it up. Like, I just don't get that. But then, as far as what the Bears do, it is obvious that Caleb Williams is going to be their quarterback. They did go get Keenan Allen. Of course, they're bringing back DJ Moore. They've got Cole Kmet, so they've got options for him.
Nice little trio there.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the Allen addition really kind of shores up any questions. Like, well, shoot, does Caleb actually have anybody to throw to? I believe he does. He's still got a mediocre offensive line. They were just right in the middle of the pack in the NFL last year for protection for Justin Fields. And in a cold weather city like Chicago, I know we've heard some possible talks about a dome. I think if Caleb Williams is playing in a dome in Chicago, yeah. And all this goes out the window, but they've been a traditional cold weather team, and a running quarterback usually more often than not does not work in a city that has a cold weather team, needs to just run the ball with the running back first and then kind of do short passes. So I'm not sure how successful this is going to be. It'd be interesting to see if Caleb Williams gets a dome to play in Chicago. And then as far as what the Commanders do, you got to take the best guy available. I don't think that you're in the position now after you've traded Sam Howell. You're not taking offers. You're looking at either Drake May or Jaden Daniels and trying to pick between the two of them. And then it sounds like New England's just going to pick the other, and Jacoby Brissett's going to back him up. So it's going to be hard-pressed for the Vikings, as you say, to try to move up. They might sneak in at 11 and grab like a Bo Nix. You know, it really is. It's like, do they want to try to get a Jaden Daniels or Drake May, or are they going to be okay with maybe that next tier for a Bo Nix? So, yeah, a lot of stories in this one trade, but Caleb Williams to the Bears, it's official, and I'm kind of iffy about it. I guess it's just a wait-and-see feel for me, Joe.
It looks like the odds have shifted in the favor of Jaden Daniels being selected number 2 overall.
Okay.
And it kind of feels like the narrative has been shifting towards that. Like, as far as talking heads on national media, I mean, we had Dan Orlovsky say that the Bears should take him number one overall.
What the hell are you? I love Dan Orlovsky is one of the smartest guys out there. He must know something that I don't or see something that I don't, because I was like, Dan, I love you, but I disagree.
Then we also have Lewis Riddick the other day. He was saying something along the lines, too, where Jane Daniels, like, he was hyping him up a little bit more. So I feel like that is where Washington will be going with Jane Daniels. I still think I'm holding out a little bit of, and this is where things could get interesting, is at number three with the Patriots, is if they stand pat, no pun intended.
Hey,
is that the second week in a row I've done that?
I think, well, we
did
were.
I think I might have used that last week.
You and I were literally on, like, dad jokes galore last week, so I'm going to say yes. We've done really well. I think we're a little seedier right today.
I need to stop.
Just say something dirty, Joe. Say something naughty.
I will not be saying that you can touch my nipples. I will not be going down that road. But they're number three, and now we're seeing reports that there could be like six wide receivers taken in the first round.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe the Chargers try and trade up to number three, or the Giants. I was saying to sales manager Ryan Cooley the other day that maybe the Giants, depending on if either of those teams really, really, really wants Marvin Harrison Jr., and want to steal him from the Cardinals, that they try and make a deal with the Patriots to get their number three overall pick, so that way they can just jump right ahead of them, and then they can snag him. But again, like, I'm looking at this mock draft on The Ringer right now. There's, you know, so many different mock drafts you can look at. But after the first three picks, three quarterbacks, you got three wide receivers: Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, right there at 4, 5, and 6. And then you have number seven overall, that they're projecting that the Vikings will trade up and go for J.J. McCarthy at number seven overall. Dear God, don't.
J.J. has just moved up. He, for some reason, in an offense that he really didn't have to throw the ball a lot for Michigan, he has been heralded as one of the top five passers in this draft, and I can't figure out why.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
But you know what? I made those comments about Josh Allen out of Wyoming. I was so wrong. So I ain't got a perfect track record up here either.
Ooh, this will get me to me touching the nips. Number 24, Cowboys, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Oh, they need that protection up front.
They sure do.
And
they
he's
sure
going to get a bag if he goes to Dallas.
I like that. Daddy like.
Yeah, JPJ.
All right, it's getting hot in here. We're going to take a break. I need to calm down. NBA stuff. There was something last night that happened that the NBA deserved all of it. And I want to ask you, when's the last time you saw a player do this? We get to that next year, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. NBA stuff.
Did you say NBA stuff?
I did.
NBA stuff, huh?
Oh, boy.
Can't talk NBA without Round Ball Rock, baby.
This
is the NBA on 1080 The Fan.
Because I'm going to dunk it. I'm sorry. They use this for, like, Pac-12 basketball,
they
I
want
to say now. Or, no, they use it for not on Pac-12 Network. Fox Sports, I want to say, has the rights to this music. So I don't know if legally we can even play it, but I don't care. But yes, they play this when they're promoing and going to commercial break, and this is on Fox Sports now. It just does not hit the same.
No, it's the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Portland Trail Blazers, not the UAB Blazers versus the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana. No, stop that crap.
Yeah, it does not hit the same. And quite frankly, Warriors-Lakers was not hitting at all last night.
I saw the final score.
Did you see what happened with the shot clock?
Lay that on me. I did not see the Twitter uprising about that, no.
Dude, there was like a 17-minute delay in the game because not only was there like a review of a play, but the shot clock just kept resetting and stopped working.
And they didn't have a backup anywhere? They're usually supposed to pull the backup out.
They had to use stopwatches.
Oh, we're there. So, yeah, usually when that happens, if one shot clock is off, they have to turn, or it's not working, they turn all the ones in the arena off. And then, yeah, the referees have to run it by doing a stopwatch. And do they, Do they say like 5-4 like Terry Stotts used to yell from the sidelines?
I mean, you,
I don't know what the rules are and how they're supposed to know that there's 5 seconds left.
Well, I personally say that the NBA deserves this kind of embarrassment because you put this was your ESPN marquee game last night on Saturday night was Warriors Lakers battling out for play-in positions, mind you. I get it. It's Steph. It's LeBron. That's what you're selling to the folks. That's what you're trying to get the ratings. But when you have, and, you know, I know I'm going to sound ridiculous because, dear God, how dare I want two better teams on the TV with two potential MVP candidates and Jalen Brunson, who went for 40 points in his second straight game, one of those 40-point games coming against the Blazers, mind you, but going up against Domantas Sabonis, who leads the league in triple-doubles this year.
Love Domantas Sabonis.
And has got, like, a billion straight double-doubles. And you have that game that you could potentially have on the TV, on ESPN. You know, the Knicks, who have won their 40th game. They're now 40-27. The Kings, 38-28 on the year. You could go that route, but instead you go with the Warriors and Lakers, who, again, are battling for play-in positioning. And then you get that debacle, that S sandwich at the end of the game, where it was showing, like, the celebrities at the game. Ben Affleck looked like he was about to fall asleep in his seat. Bad Bunny looked like he could be anywhere else. Literally should have been anywhere else
it's
besides
like,
that game.
Why are you here? Oh, because you want to be seen on camera, you egotistical jerks.
Why aren't you in Sacramento? Wait, don't answer that.
Or why aren't you just, I don't know, it's a weekend evening.
Like in Los Angeles?
These guys do have families. These gals do have families, I think. At least Ben Affleck does.
So, shame on you, NBA. You get what you deserve. And putting that game on instead of Knicks-Kings on ESPN. And quite frankly, it's like, now I don't want to say that because Patrick Harris has the opinion that college basketball is better than the NBA. The product is better. I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah, I would disagree with that, but I hear why he's making that argument.
But there is no reason why you should be watching NBA basketball right now at this point in time. Because college basketball's product right now in conference championship week and March Madness runs laps around the NBA, where you have NBA stars that are a bunch of babies crying about how much they should play during the season and that, oh, well, you know, maybe if the season was shorter and I don't see why we have these restrictions on being able to make first teams and MVP votes, like maybe we should lower that. Dude, the NBA is having quite a season. And not in a good way. Like when it comes to players being babies, the referees are just having just an A-plus season.
Yeah, the All-Star game was terrible. You had guys chucking half-court shots.
Like, dude, David Stern is rolling in his grave right now.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Handed that over to Adam Silver, and Silver's like, I don't know what to do.
But what I will say is one of the best things in the NBA is the big white hunk of sentient mayo that is Nikola Jokic. The Serbian. And I was watching a little highlight reel. I believe it was from Friday night when they played the Spurs. When is the last time you saw Nikola Jokic dunk the basketball?
Seasons ago? I don't know.
Like I'm sure he's done it. I'm sure he's gotten a drop step, 2 foot or a two-handed slam at some point. But he absolutely worked Victor Wembanyama on Friday night. Not a single dunk in that whole highlight package that I saw. And it just made me, watching them, I was just like, dude, when is the last time you have ever seen him, like, running a fast break, no one ahead of him, 1-2, one-handed, bam, like, again, pull kind of a drop step move and then just slam it home. Like, maybe he, does Nikola Jokic have the vertical to even dunk?
I would say he is the Andre Miller of centers, because I don't know if y'all remember Portland Trailblazers former point guard Andre Miller, former Nugget, former Sixer as well. But dude, when he had a jump shot, his feet did not leave the floor. His toes stayed on the court. And Nikola Jokic is what, a foot basically taller than Andre Miller was, or almost. So yeah, why would he have to jump either? There's no reason for him to. He moves. It is extremely like focused and like this, like I don't have to do extra work here. That's the beauty of Nikola Jokic, is he can work you at 65%. He's in third gear while you're in fifth, and that's why he's so good.
All right, I do have a clip from 2 years ago of Nikola Jokic with a dunk against the Blazers. Go figure.
That's shocking.
He's running kind of a trailer, and that is a rim scraper. Like, he barely gets that in. I don't know. Yeah, it's a dunk, but
it's like a dunk in the terms of like an 8-year-old dunking on the basketball hoop all the way lowered in your driveway.
Okay, here we go.
That's the kind of dunk that one is.
Here's a clip from 9 days ago on YouTube where the caption is Nikola Jokic spins and destroys Kristaps Porzingis with nasty dunk.
It can't
be that nasty. Okay. All right. There you go. Drop step, two-handed slam.
See, but that was very pointed. That's what I'm saying. When does he do that?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like that one point.
He just bowled him over, too.
Yeah, but he had to. He's going to go back to playing at 65% and kicking everybody's ass.
Where's Kristaps from? What country?
Serbia, Lithuania? I'm not sure.
Latvia.
Latvia. One of the L's.
How is the Serbian-Latvian relations? Are those any good?
I don't know, bro. You're going a little beyond my purview. I know way more about the relations between the Lakers and the Celtics than these two countries that you're speaking of.
Well, I will say that I always get the, the Eastern Bloc countries, the former Soviet countries, and then the Baltic countries confused. Because you got, like, a lot of IA countries that are not near each other. You got Bulgaria, Romania, Croatia, Serbia. Those are more of those Eastern Bloc, just south of Ukraine.
Okay.
Slovakia. Nah. But then up in the Baltic, you got Lithuania. You got Latvia. You got Estonia. So again, I feel like they all should be next to each other, but they're not. So Latvia is nowhere near Serbia. So I think they might be cool with each other.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would think that. I mean, they would have a lot of ground and countries to cover.
Do you think all those European guys from different countries, just because they're from the same continent, like glom together or try to hang out like in the NBA or around the NBA season? Or do they just kind of, it's just like the same as guys here, you know, like in the United States? I know you, I'm playing with you, I'm playing against you, but like there's really no reason for me to, unless I'm buddies with you, to do anything with you. I always wonder that about the European guys.
Well, I do remember during the bubble in Orlando that there was a picture of some of the players that were from like Croatia, Serbia, Slovenia, kind of near the Adriatic Sea there.
Yeah.
That they were all hanging out together because, yeah, they're from that region there.
And they play, you know, growing up with each other, just like these guys here in the United States are playing AAU ball, growing up with each other. Very similar.
Now I'm wondering, like, as I look at some of these countries, like, who's the best player from Estonia? Who's the best player from Montenegro?
I don't know. Estonia was like Skidizvili from Estonia.
What a name drop.
Yeah, Skidizvili. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
going to even know how to spell that.
Estonia NBA athletes. Oh boy. It is. Oh boy.
Got a short list.
These are names that I'm not even going to try to attempt. Well, that's a Henry. I can say that. Henry Drell.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, players from Estonia currently in the NBA. Henry Drell. He's apparently played in one game this year.
It sounds like a two-way guy, because I know nothing of this Drell.
Players from Estonia in the NBA since 1946-47. Two. Only two. Henry Drell and Martin Mersip. So Estonia.
Neither rings any semblance of a bell for me.
Not a hotbed, apparently, for NBA Italian up there, NBA talent in Estonia. What about Montenegro? I feel like we've probably had a couple players from there.
Montenegro is like so tiny. No, there's maybe one. Maybe.
Right, here we go. We're on Real GM Montenegro. Oh, all right. We got a pretty big name from there. Nikola Vucevic.
Oh, okay. Vucevic was born in Montenegro. Or he hails from Montenegro.
Oh, Nikola Pekovic. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Double guy. No, I don't know who the hell that is.
Google Nikola Pekovic. You'll remember him.
Nikola.
He looks like a straight up Eastern European bodyguard.
Ah, yes, I do remember him.
Yeah.
I love how his Wikipedia describes him as, first, not a former NBA player, that's like the third thing. His first is a Montenegrin businessman. I love that. He don't care about his basketball
time. Yeah, he's a security guard slash assassin, probably, is what he is. I'm surprised I haven't seen him in a John Wick movie.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Okay, Nikola Mirotic.
Oh, yeah, all right. So a lot of Nicholas here.
Yeah, yes, a lot. Three, as a matter of fact.
All right, it's a popular name in the Montenegro there.
Yeah, so, all right, I'm going to keep Googling some of these random Eastern European countries and see what players are from there. But to close out the show, and I thank the YouTube chat for this, there's a celebrity with a huge gambling debt, and I am just curious, what the hell is he doing out there in Vegas? We get to that next to end the show, right here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. This is coming from the YouTube chat. You guys see Bruno Mars owes the MGM $50 million from gambling. Oh, my God.
I know the dude's like a super rich artist, but he can't just have that sitting around. Like, he's not worth 100, 200 mil, is he?
He's going to have a residency there for the next, like, 20 years to pay that off.
That's a big deal.
Now I'm just looking up ridiculous Vegas table games and trying to, like, speculate, like, or envision him, like, losing all of his money, like, by playing, like, war or something. Now, I don't know if the MGM has war. I think Cosmopolitan is what people are saying. But how ridiculous would that be? Him losing 50 mil because he's losing at war.
To try to quantify his finances a bit more, says MGM basically own him. He makes $90 million a year off the deal that he did with a casino, but then he has to pay back his debt, claiming the singer only makes $1.5 million per night after taxes. So I believe he is doing a residency already.
Poor guy.
And in this, he has racked up quite a bit of, I guess you could call it, fun charges. Because it's entertainment, right, baby? It's in Vegas.
Sounds like it.
And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, especially if you're Bruno Mars' money.
Maybe he's losing it playing some Caribbean stud poker.
Yeah, like some Pai-Gal, like, exclusive, like, yeah.
Pai-Gal poker.
Yeah, but like a very, very, like an Australian Pai-Gal. I don't even know if that exists. Like a weird, like, tiny version of it that nobody knows how to play.
Lost it all playing Keno.
Don't do that. Throw a couple of bucks down on Keno, you know, give some money to those schools, but don't treat that as an investment, please.
My neighbor swears he has the Keno strategy down.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to tell me so many times. And what's great is halfway through his explanation of his strategy, I start getting a lot of,
sure yet.
It's a lot of, I don't actually remember the strategy to begin with. What I love about gambling is you always hear about everybody's great stories and how they hit and how they did this right. You never hear about the losses.
Oh, I feel like at least in poker, you can remember the outstanding losses in detail.
Like, you only hear about the losses when it's like this. Like, this dude is $50 million in debt and is going to have a residency basically until he dies.
My God, 50. I mean, that's the reports are as high from multiple news outlets as 50 million. That, I'm not sure that's the guaranteed amount, but it's up there. That's for sure. Good God.
Bruno Mars, best of luck to you, buddy. Hopefully the cards start turning up right for you playing war. Also, North Macedonia, home to Chetty Osman.
Chetty
Osman, baby.
You need to give me a Chetty jersey.
If you want to go to realgm.com, you can choose which country, like any country in the world, and they'll give you the list of players that are from that country. Moldova. Hate to break it to you. Not a single player currently or ever in the league.
Well, the NBA needs to get some investment in the pipeline of Moldovan talent.
Yes, they are missing an opportunity in Moldova. Antigua and Barbuda. Only one player since 1947. Norvell Pell.
Oh, wow.
There's just so much talent out there. They're blowing it, all right, NBA? That's how you need to make your product better. You see the international influx of talent, all right? You need to start going to these other countries. Azerbaijan, maybe? All right. Hey, tune into Dirt and Sprague tomorrow. It will be Dirt and Sprague.
Yes.
The boys are back in town. They will be here 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and then come to the A&A Sports Bar Stadium, or Sports Casino, rather, the whole casino and come hang with us for Fan Madness Thursday, Friday. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Jordan, thank you as always.
Love you, brother. And love all you listeners out there as well.
And we will catch you next Sunday, everybody. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.